Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Blog Talk listeners. Tom Hayes, and I have the biggest smile on my face today because, first of all, not only is it a beautiful April day, but I am sitting in Portland, Maine. And if you've never been to Portland, Maine, you are missing something. It's an old seafaring town. It's gorgeous. It's got history, and it's got beautiful people. And we've got beautiful people on the show today. And better than that, Enzo and I are not separated today. I am in the same room. And I'm feeling like we're really in real radio. We're not on, you know, some blog talk radio. We're on real radio in a studio in his beautiful, beautiful condo here in Portland, Maine. And so, Enzo, how are you today?
I'm so good. I can't tell you how good I feel. It's a nice, the sun was out all day today. It was so nice in Maine and the ocean. I come up here a lot when I can. The ocean was rolling in and the wind was howling and it was so nice. This is the place to be, except for a bean town, of course, because there's nothing like a bean town. But if you want to get away for the weekend, this is the place to come.
And it's so, I have to control myself because I never saw Enzo when he speaks, but he speaks like a true Italian. Your arms are moving and the whole bodies are moving. And you're going crazy here, Enzo.
Well, you never have to worry about your voice. If you have arms that work, you're fine.
We forgot to do? We forgot to do this. Let's do this again. Now, I hope you have your sound effects. I hope you have your little applause button over there.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Let's do this right. One more before we do it. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Italia, Roma, Italia, Mr. Enzo Cannellini. Here we go.
Cannellini,
Menzumara, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Figlia mia, tu da dare, mamma mia, vendacere. Se te veglia lo pesciaiole, isuai, istilena, se volo pescia, maladena. Se ci ingappa la fantasia dei pescioli a vecchiuzza mia, la la riola, pesce fritta e baccalà, uè gomba, no calamara, c'è giaccata. Second stanza.
Sei la luna.
What a way to spend a Friday afternoon. This reminds me of the old college days when all the classes were through and you could just relax, except we don't have anything to wet our whistle. But
you don't, but I do.
That's true, I could see. Well, listen, let's go right to Denver, Colorado, in the Rockies, Rocky Mountain High.
Colorado.
And our favorite friend who started our first show with us, Catherine, Amazing Dines. Catherine, you out there?
Katrina!
Hello. Oh, hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be here, and I was thinking about a big plate of spaghetti.
Oh, that makes me cry.
That music just made me really want Italian food tonight.
That makes a song to make everybody happy. Someday I'll tell you.
How are you doing?
Aw. Some verses of that song aren't as nice as they sound. Oh,
it's true, isn't it, Catherine, that how happy that song makes you?
Oh, it just really does. You just want to get right in and do a dance and run outside. And it's just a great song. I love it.
Now, have you been, let me ask, now we're on that. Let's follow that a little bit. Have you been to Europe?
I have.
What's your favorite? Have you been to Italy?
I have, and it happens to be, one of my favorite places in Europe, if not my most favorite place in Europe. Oh, so, I had loved it.
The people are so nice in Italy. It's like no other country in the world.
They are incredible, and it's just magical, the whole way the countryside is and the red-roofed houses, and Sicily is great, Sardinia, Italy, it's just fantastic.
Yes, and now, how long did you spend there?
I was on tour with the Department of Defense, and it was a six-week tour, and we went all through the Mediterranean. Isn't that wild?
You're looking for newer bases in Italy?
Yeah. Right.
I didn't know we had to be worried about Italy. I thought
we
were worried about other countries.
No, I don't think we do. It was actually for military families, and they don't really do that much anymore. Because once the war started, they had to send the Dallas cheerleaders to the troops, you know.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, we have another friend of ours. This is a kind of a coastal thing here with the Rocky Mountain High connected by the internet and the phone. But our great friend from Long Island, Huntington, New York,
Huntington.
Patricia Shee. How are you, Patricia?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Catherine. How are you?
It's so exciting. This is like the best time ever.
A party.
Yes,
totally
it is.
Is.
It's a Friday afternoon party.
Yay.
Party
for me.
Did you hear, last week you got to hear a little Lazy Mary. Can we do a little more?
I'd love to.
Okay, a little bit more.
Here we go.
C'è una luna mezz'umana, mamma mia, mamma di dare. Figlia mia, cosa dare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te peglia lo pescia, io le isla, islena, se po' lo pescia, maladena. Se c'è ingappa la fantasia, dei pesci, le avvicchiuzza mia. La la riola, pesce fritta in baccalà. Uè, gomba, no calamara, c'è giaccata. Second stanza.
Is that really Italian?
Yes, you must know the song, Patricia.
No, I live under a rock. I live under a rock in a cave at the bottom of the sea. So I don't know very
know
much.
About that.
Yeah.
You have to go to the music store and look up Louis Prima and Keely Smith.
I just love Italy. I have to tell you, I love Italy.
Well,
maybe we should all just go
Italy.
To Italy and do our show from there.
Let's go to Italy.
Oh,
Enzo, Enzo, where are you from? What part of Italy are you from?
I'm from Rome. I was a kid, Roma. And, when I was a little kid, I was supposed to, but, many times I was running around the ruins because I thought I was going to run into a Roman soldier. Every time I looked at them, because I watch so much of TV, I'm thinking, that I hear the music and I see the chariots are racing around Circus of Maximus, and I almost said a circus like it's in Las Vegas, but the real Rome, Circus Maximus, and it looks like from the mountaintop, it's still in perfect shape, and you see the chariots going around and the Roman soldiers and the Roman people. You're making my heart pound already.
Enzo,
you were a little boy and you got to play there, Enzo?
Oh, yes. And they said, don't you touch any of those marble pieces, Enzo.
Enzo, are you responsible for those ruins when you were a little boy? Did you do that?
I was a little bigger before I started being responsible for the ruins.
Did you make that mess?
It was like being in Hollywood for me. It almost like they weren't even real for me. They were so magnificent. I love the ruins. And they're everywhere, all over Europe, let alone Italy.
You know what I love? You know what I love about you two ladies, and I mean this sincerely from my many years on stage myself and speaking, et cetera. I am shocked, and I never knew what I was getting into when we started the show. The level of professionalism, the way that we were just talking, Catherine and I were talking about how we just love these shows kind of take on an energy of their own. And the both of you just add so much texture. Let me say, is that a good word, texture? You add so much texture and feeling and depth and professionalism. Benzo, we need a round of applause.
Well, absolutely.
Aww.
It's so different from you and I. You love
well,
both of these people. This is nice.
I hope that
go
someday
ahead.
You will get to see Catherine perform because she is just, she's so magic. She's absolutely magic.
I saw one of her videos, and you're right. Now, the only video I saw of you, Patricia, was the PSA, and I've got you must have some stuff. Do you have some? Well, first of all, we keep forgetting to do this, but let's have both of your websites so everybody knows. Catherine, why don't you first?
Okay, it's Hunk to Bunkta, so HUNK like a big hunk candy bar.
Like a
TA like ta-ta. Bunk like bunk bed, BUNK, and then another TA. So Hunk to Bunkta.
.com.
.com.
Okay.
And Patricia, you?
As just my name, PatriciaShea.com. So that's PatriciaS, as in Sam, HIH. And by the way, there are some videos on my website. Just click on the videos button.
Good. Of you actually in concert?
No, I don't have any live videos up there, but I should. I really should. No, they're music videos. And Catherine and I have worked on a music video together, haven't we?
Oh, I am so excited to tell people about this because Patricia is not only an amazing artist and performer herself, but she is a graphic artist, painter, and video producer.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And she does amazing videos, and she just pulls these ideas and concepts. She's so good at conceiving of the way things could be and full of ideas. We had the best time. I had the best time.
Yeah, so did I. And so this is a mutual admiration society, if you can't tell already.
And yeah, we're like,
well,
it's really kind of sad.
Well, you know, I come from a different discipline because I'm, you know, most of my stuff is comedy, though I've had it always loved, just passionate about music for everything from rock and roll to jazz to classical, et cetera. And I just had another word to describe the both of you, and that is command. Both of you have an amazing command. And little did I know that when I was going to get into children's music, and everybody's got, I mean, I was a children's entertainer. And, of course, the thing I hated most about being a children's entertainer is that you had the entire audience dying. You had the parents bent over, crying, laughing about some of the antics you'd pull with the kids, et cetera. And they would say to you, now, you ready for this? Because you know what's coming. Oh, the kids loved you.
Yes.
Doesn't that just both of you? Tell me what you think of that comment, both of you.
I think it's wonderful. We want the kids to love us, but I also would answer that, well, how did you like it?
Oh, that's so good.
You know,
so good.
You know, We're aiming to make all the whole family happy and to have the family have fun and learn something at the same time and to bond with each other. You know, when you're laughing together, when you're learning together, when you're dancing and singing together, what could be better between a parent and a child? Yeah?
That's
absolutely
right. What about Catherine? What did you say? What do you say when they give you that?
I usually just say, I'm so thrilled, and I hope you enjoyed it, too.
Very good.
You know,
exactly.
Or something like that, just to, you know, leave it open or whatever. But it's actually something that I had never really thought about on that level, Thomas. So
that they feel that they can't admit that they had it because
it's children's music, and that put some sort of a thing on it that they think, oh, the kids will like it. I can't like it. It's for kids.
Could
anytime, anywhere, for everybody. It's so good.
Could I
well,
say
again,
something? this is a real sore point with me, is that many people, when they ask what you do, let's say you're at a party and people say, oh, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a musician, and their eyes light up. Oh, what kind of music do you do? And I say, I perform for kids. And then, like, the light goes out of their eyes. It's almost like they think that children's music is second rate. And that could be further from the truth, not further from the truth, because, and Catherine, you jump in here, too, it takes a special skill set, you know, because both Catherine and I have performed for adults as well, right, Catherine? You've done that, right? And it is so different, and I think Catherine and I both adore the children's music world, and it's not something that just anybody can do, and it kind of, you know, peeves me when people think of children's music as, oh, that's just kiddie stuff, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. I remember, I think that's so important, because I remember when I was living in Nashville and I was first asked to write for children, and I took my children's songs to this publisher who I'd been working with, and I'd been, you know, getting songs published for the country and pop markets. And he said, this is kid stuff. Why are you focusing on that? And I said, because I love it, and it's really interesting to me, and it's really a niche that I think needs us, and it's like no credibility whatsoever. It was interesting.
Well, I'm hoping that's changing.
Well,
you know, there's a whole new kiddie movement.
It is changing. We're going to make a change, because I, as much as I was a victim of that kind of a thing my whole time, you know, it's just, you knew that you were connecting with the adults, and you knew that they were as astonished with some of the effects I was doing, and even more so, they were laughing as loud as the kids, and they hated to admit it. And you're right; everybody looks down on what I do. And when I went and saying, "Oh, I'll go to see if I can find some children's entertainers," I was guilty of it myself, thinking, "Oh, well, you know, we entertain kids." And then when I heard you guys. First of all, you know, the words command and professional and everything else, I went, wow, this stuff is absolutely amazing. I mean, I love this stuff. And one of the first songs, we're going to play it right now, is when Catherine was our first guest, and we heard Hey Sam, I was blown away. Can we play it?
I love it, Hey Sam.
Here we go. Hey Sam.
I identify with a Sam-a-lot.
You don't like festivals?
You know, how can anyone listen to that? As shocked as I was when I heard that song, I said, listen to the, you know, the studio musicians in that thing. The voice, you know, you might as well be at a Kenny Chesney concert, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, Catherine. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. I'm a little embarrassed, really.
Well, you know, Catherine,
why?
Really, so she's such a fine writer. We do at least two of her songs. You know, she's like this gold mine as a songwriter, and you just
absolutely
listen to her. Yeah, you listen to her CDs and go, oh, I want to do that song. Oh, I love that song. Oh, we have to record that. You know, and that's such a mark of a good, great songwriter.
Oh,
truly.
Well,
without a doubt.
You two are a little younger than me, and, you know, when I was a kid, the songs weren't this sophisticated, and you know, I think that the music now, the so-called the kids' music, is much more sophisticated now, much more than Gene Autry beating out the rhythm on his guitar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It's amazing some of the production that's happening, don't you think, Patricia?
Not only the production, but the writing and
the,
you know,
writing,
the,
yeah,
the live shows.
It's much bigger, it's much more complicated. Yeah. It's good music.
It's wonderful music.
Music.
And you know, when my daughter was growing up and she was little, there weren't that many, you know, really high quality musicians that were touring or performing, so, you know, we couldn't take her to a lot of live concerts. But now, oh my gosh, the number of quality CDs has exploded, the quality live performance, it's the golden age of children's music, I think.
It is in many, many ways.
When I was in with a Gene Autry singing a Frosty the Snowman.
Oh.
The same as Hey Sam or any of your music that both of you do.
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Don't
and
mention
I think
broccoli again. No broccoli, no cabbage. No, please.
Well,
the one
at least
thing
we have a bean. Go ahead.
No, I didn't. Go ahead.
No.
Okay,
assist,
the one thing
please.
That one
so
thing
polite,
I think has been fascinating is the introduction of early childhood learning in music. It sort of had this separation for many, many years where teachers used music in the classroom all the time. But once musicians kind of got a hold of the concept and how important music was to help develop the brain and movement came into every song as a performer, it did explode, and it became this incredibly rich area of music in which teachers can draw from and parents.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think,
well,
Patricia?
You know,
Kim, that it,
oh, yeah.
Well, what that, see, we're all educators. I know, Catherine, you're a keynote speaker at a lot of the conventions.
Well, I have, and Patricia certainly is also. I mean, we both have done that and do it. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm curious as to what – go ahead, Patricia, because what – I mean, what do you talk about? What I mean, because it was at this pivotal point when – I mean, how did the entertainers hook into this concept that, you know, this was such an integral part of the educational process?
I think it was an evolution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, where, you know, teachers started looking for other material and searching, you know, beyond row, row, row your boat and, you know, the little rhymey things that they had used for years. And I think they started looking outside of the box. And also, I think musicians went into the classroom.
Yes.
Do you think that?
Yes, went into the classroom, went into the schools. But I have to give a shout-out to one of my huge musical heroes, Pete Seeger, who just recently died in January, because what he did as the grandfather, I should say, he and Woody Guthrie of American folk music, is they kind of showed generations of musicians that music is not just for entertainment, but it can be used as a tool for learning, for social change. So when I started performing for adults, back in the dark ages. I don't want to tell you how old I am, but I decided I was going to write songs that were meaningful as well. And then 28 years ago, when I started performing for kids, it was just a natural evolution that I was going to write and perform songs that had content, something meaningful, something important to say, something that could teach kids about the wider world around them. And you could draw a direct line from a lot of us straight to Pete Seeger.
And another, another
everybody mentioned,
really
everybody
wonderful sort of mainstay is Ella Jenkins. She did the same thing in a way, and she was actually, an African-American woman making music who made a mark in the children's music area, using a lot of old folk songs as well as very singable, memorable songs that you could use to teach counting or colors or concepts. She's terrific also. But you're right, Patricia.
And another artist I wish that you would get on the show, Tom, is Tom Chapin, who was an early hero of mine and my daughter's. Like I said, when I first started in children's music, there weren't a lot of other artists doing, music that I was particularly interested in listening to. But Tom and Raffi and a few others were really writing extraordinary, sophisticated, funny, meaningful, deep music for children. It was something very different than London Bridges or Ring Around the Rosie. You know, it was really about something, and it was teaching my daughter, concepts and ideas and attitudes. And I hope you can get Tom on your show.
That's
I'd
a great
to.
Idea.
We'll,
he would be a wonderful guest.
I will reach out to him, and hopefully you can help me get him to come on. One of the things that I I think one of the arguments we had when we developed, we talked about, oh, by the way, our call-in number is 347-996-3903. I'll do it one more time, 347-996-3903. One of the things that we talked about in developing the children's property, Beantown Pals, et cetera, was to where do you direct the content? How do you do it? And they tried to get us to write to the preschool. I said, you got to write. And I said, we said, no, we'll write as we can. We have to find out what our story is inside that we want to express and let it fall where it is. But one thing we all knew, and I think it's a truth, and maybe that's what I want to hear from both of you, is if you write down to kids, they know.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do they ever.
Oh, yeah.
Do they ever.
So go ahead.
I don't think you ever want to write down to anybody, whether they be adults or children. People might be tempted to write down to children, but, you never want to condescend ever in any kind of writing, do you? No.
Never.
No, you want to uplift. You want to, especially with children, talk to them as if you were talking to another human being, I always raise my daughter talking to her as if she were an adult. I mean, not exactly, but so she ended up having this rather large vocabulary, and some pretty sophisticated attitudes and ideas at a very young age. And I firmly believe that children have a lot more capacity than we give them credit for.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
I keep going back to two songs because it's my favorite. Let's show the world why children's music is not something less than adult music. Let's go pick it up. What do you think, Patricia?
Sure.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Pick it up, and throw it in the garbage. Pick it up, pick it up. Everything has its place. Pick it up. It up, recycle or reuse it, pick it up, pick it up. We've got to share this space. Now when you're riding in a car and there's someone up ahead of you and they have got a great big candy bar and they're taking off the wrapper, they throw it out the window. What do you
What could they be thinking?
Pick it up, and throw it in the garbage. Pick it Everything has its place. Pick it up, pick it up. Recycle or reuse it. Pick it up, pick it up. We got to share this space. I know most of us are busy and our room's a little messy. There's clothes and toys and food all over the place. And your mom's disappointed and your dad's near a meltdown.
What could you be thinking?
Pick it up, and throw it in the garbage. Pick it up, pick it up. Everything has its place. Pick it up, recycle or reuse it. Pick it up, we got to share this
after I hear it. It's so hooky.
I know.
It's just great.
All last weekend into the week.
It's picking me up for me, I tell you.
Wake up in the morning, pick it up, pick it up.
I know. It's just a great song. Is that Stephen, your husband, playing?
It is. You know, I get kicked off my own album sometimes because I'm, you know, not the world's best musician. But I got to play cowbell on that.
Ooh, it sounded great.
is that your husband, Stephen, who's playing on the guitar?
Isn't he wonderful? Yes. He plays just about everything. He plays guitar, bass, mandolin, banjo, anything with strings. So, yeah, he's a hot player.
Oh, he's amazing.
I play the kazoo.
Where's your slide whistle?
I play the didgeridoo, and I play the slide whistle, too.
I hope you have your slide whistle today.
I have it, but most of the time all I can play is Deutschland, Deutschland, Uber Alles. Which nobody likes.
Can you really play the didgeridoo?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Where is it? Oh,
I love that instrument.
I am going to go. It's
not bad for an Italian opera guy.
First of all, you gotta. If you ladies could only see two mature, I'm going to use the word, we're both mature people, guys, sitting in a little condo in Portland, Maine, rocking back and forth, weaving to pick it up. None of us
even looked
at each other or talked to each other because we were so busy just doing that. Here comes the didgeridoo, ladies. Here we go.
He's an Italian man who likes the opera and is the maestro of the Beantown Opera House, playing an Australian instrument in Portland, Maine. This is a multicultural show.
Yay.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's have a shot. Here we go. Here we go, folks. Hang on.
You sound a little out of breath. Is that right? Such such an amazing instrument.
It sounds like
instrument.
Stan needs to eat some cabbage here.
And Stan is going to press title button.
It goes with the Beantown theme, doesn't it?
Yes, totally.
Oh, yes.
That is. That
maybe
is,
you should change the name to, you know, I don't know, a Beanery Do.
Well, Steam are coming up from the coast right now looking for Tommy and his didgeridoo.
I love it.
How do you tune that?
Now, this is, you know, this reminds me of the old, like I said, it's Friday afternoon. It's like back in college, you know, and we're having the gals over for, you know, to visit and be talking about what we're going to do later on tonight. But, you know, let's, the other thing is I dug deeper into this whole music thing as children's music. I can't believe the number of awards you have both won. And, Catherine, I was looking at this week at yours. You've won some Grammys?
No, I've never won a Grammy. I've been on a couple projects that have been nominated, but I have never won a Grammy.
Okay.
Well, you should.
And
you
yeah.
should.
How about
well,
how about
you know
you,
what?
The highest award I guess I've ever won was NAPA, which is the Catherine, what is it? National Association of Parenting Publications, something.
Yep.
Which is like probably one notch below the Grammys, would you say?
Wow.
And
I'd say it's way above the Grammys in terms of kids music. That's what I'd say. But you know,
yeah,
we
they
had this discussion last week about awards and how, you know, I think initially they were kind of a good thing to try to get. I mean, early on in my career, I think I thought it would be really great to be known as an award-winning songwriter or something.
Oh.
But I'm not sure that I think that I was sort of doing it for maybe the wrong reasons then. Do you know what
well,
I mean?
We were talking about that on with the other people that we know in the Children's Music Network, and I think we all agree that awards are really nice, and they're a nice form of validation, but I think if you're doing children's music for the right reason, your reward comes from the smiles and the hugs and the applause and the love that you get from the families and the children. I remember I played at this school, and I was walking down the hall after the concert, and this little five-year-old, a kindergartner, came tearing down the hall, just top speed, and she just jumped into my arms and gave me this huge hug.
Oh,
and
love
I said,
it.
And I just, you know, we were just hugging each other, and I just said, this is the reason I do this. I mean, the awards are wonderful. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I would love to get a Grammy.
Sure.
But, you know, but... You know, the real reason. Thank you.
Wow.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Patricia, but the real reason.
Well, just the real reason that we do this is to, you know, get into the hearts and minds of children and families and to, you know, bring a lot of love, and we get so much more in return. Wouldn't you say, Catherine?
I would say that's the only reason you should do it, because it obviously doesn't, it's not extremely lucrative.
Don't do it for
so
the money.
So you might as well do it because you absolutely love it and you're passionate about it.
You know,
and on
that note, I mean, money can only do so much. That money can never do what that does.
That's true.
Oh, I agree. Totally
yeah,
agree.
Without, I mean,
hey,
yeah. Go ahead.
Could you do like the Beanie Awards? Like
ooh.
For the children could
like
vote.
Like the show, sure.
Yeah, the children.
That is
vote.
A brilliant idea.
And
well,
you know, your
you
little mascot, you know, that could be, the award could be in the shape of the mascot, and the children could say, oh, you know, and give out many, many of them, so it's not so elitist and so competitive,
right.
You know. Oh, you know,
yeah.
Catherine deserves a beanie. She definitely does.
Or,
you know?
Yeah,
well,
you could do,
you.
You could even do jelly beans or something.
Yeah.
And they go from 0 to 5, so today we're going to award both of you the first 5 Bean Award. Both of you today
wow.
get the 5 Bean Award.
How
you know,
awesome.
Award, you have a string. You pull the string on the award from Beantown, and you get the beans.
Enzo, what do you say?
Scoozies.
Oh,
boy, Patricia, didn't
you pick up on that quick?
You didn't take long to pick up on that one. Thank you. I missed
I'm
that.
I'm a mother. What do you expect? I'm a mother.
Exactly. Well, listen, can we have a little fun? First of all, love to have some callers at 347-996-3903. If we could, I was hoping some of the CMN members would listen, because this is a symposium. This is, I mean, anybody who doesn't, who's in the business, or anybody who does anything professionally with their lives to understand what we're talking about right here is just, I mean, you don't get this kind of a conversation everywhere. And so, you know, I hope everybody gets enriched by it. But can we travel over? And the whole thing took on an Italian attitude. And, of course, the didgeridoo and everything, setting up this perfectly. I've never played this on the show. This is something that another – somehow Portland has come into be an epicenter for the bean, away from Boston, but because this is where I found Tammy Pooler, who plays Betty. And as you're going to hear from – we really reached on this one. So I'm going to ask forgiveness even before we begin, but – I've always, my entire time as a comedian, I always stayed away from this kind of humor. But being Beantown, it just kind of lent itself to it. So in the Italian spirit, in the Italian, in the bean spirit, and everything that goes with being a bean, forgive us. But here is Mama Facciolis. Here we go.
Well, boys and girls, this is a big evening in Beantown. Bucky and Betty have been friends for 4 years tonight. And they're going to Mama Facciolis to celebrate. Let's tune in and see what happens.
Well, Betty, here we are. What do you think?
Oh, it's so beautiful here.
Yeah, it's just a romantic... I picked the most... You know, it's been 4 years since we've been friends.
Oh, Bucky, we have had some really fun times together.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, there's a point when, you know, in the relationship, I realize, Betty, you know, after a little while, you know, you... Either the relationship moves ahead or it kind of falls behind, but, you know, this... And so tonight I wanted to make it really special. Look at them. So what do you think of the candles?
Oh, they're really nice.
Yeah, and
Bucky, I got to tell you, thank you so much for bringing me here tonight.
Well, I picked this night because this is the night, as you know, this is the special night in Beantown where Mama Facciolis makes her spicy, extra spicy pasta fagioli. And you know what happens then?
Oh, it sure do. Yeah. That's when everybody lets the wind go free.
Yeah, and they got the, you know, the they let off steam.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, this place will be a gas in a little while.
It
you
sure
know?
Will. This is this is like the fireworks in a restaurant.
Oh,
fireworks coming from the wrong end, right, Bucky?
Well, you know.
They'll be looking in the sky tonight.
Well, it's what's his beans expressing themselves is really what it is. Wait, let's get a little quiet and see what we can hear.
Oh, wow. The fireworks are going off in this place.
Boy. Yeah, well, look, listen to that guy.
Wow.
Hey, Betty, I tell you what,
you try.
I'll try. Okay, I'm going to, you don't mind if I go first?
No.
You sure you don't want to go first?
Oh, wait, I feel one coming on.
Okay, you go ahead. You go first.
Here it goes.
Okay.
Whoa. Wow.
Betty, wow.
Oh, I feel really good.
Yeah, well, that spice is acting up on you, isn't it?
Bucky, your turn.
All right, let me see what I can do here. Let me see. Now, you know, we don't get to do this often, so it's okay.
No, once a year.
Yeah, once a year. Let me see. What do you, here we go. Ready? Yeah. What?
Oh, Bucky, that one sounded really
thank
good.
Thank you very much, Betty. I'm pretty proud of that
one. I'm
going
to try to do a double one.
You're going to try double?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You go for it, okay? Well,
wow, that was good.
Betty,
it almost sounded like a little bit of music added to it.
Your
show. Did you hear that little squeal at the end?
Yeah, I did. That's, that was quite a twist.
Wait, what's that?
What?
Well, the waiter.
Yeah,
he
that was
one.
A little close, pal. Well, I don't think he really had to go be that close to us when he did that, you know.
Wow.
Oh, gee, you really. Hey, so what do you think of the? The violin sound is kind of mixes in well with.
Yeah,
all
because
of
it's like popping and
hey, Betty,
the violin.
Hey, Betty, I got something for you. You know, I know that you've been kind of hitting around, but. I already had it here under the table, so
you
it would be a surprise.
Oh, Bucky, are you giving me my favorite,
I know,
I've always wanted a friendship bracelet.
I know, you've been asking for the friendship bracelet. Now, I just want you to be prepared, you know,
wait, before you give it to me, Bucky, I got something for you. Listen to this.
Oh, Betty,
isn't that,
wow.
That's like so romantic.
You let that one grip. Boy, oh boy, I'm proud
yeah.
of you, Betty. You know, you,
not very often you can bring a friend out and let it rip.
Yeah, well, good. This is good. Okay, so speaking about rip, why don't you just go ahead, rip open this. It's a little heavy. Let me get this. Yeah. Okay, there you go, Betty. Just kind of...
Oh,
it's a little bigger
it's
than...
It's awful big.
Yeah, it's big. Well,
Bucky, that looks like a hubcap to a spoon.
Yeah, well, it's a rim. What they call it, a rim.
Rim?
Yeah, well, we're going to...
Bucky, you got it signatured from Randy.
Randy the Rocket. Remember him? He was the champion
oh,
spoon racer
so
for Beantown for years.
Oh, signature
well, that's his rim. This is his rim to his spoon racer.
What do I do, hang it on my wall?
No, we're going to make a bracelet for you out of this.
How are you going to do that, Bucky?
We got welding torches down at the garage, and Boss has promised to help me and Batty, and we're going to do this. What's the matter, Betty? You don't look so happy.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's the extra parts. We're going to make maybe like some earrings and things, you know?
Bucky, Bucky.
Yeah.
How am I going to show my friends a friendship bracelet? It doesn't look like a friendship bracelet. It looks
well,
like a
you
got to
have imagination.
Friendship. A friendship
right.
with Rocky.
Okay, but Betty, I'm... Just try to bear with me on
Randy,
this.
Randy? What's his name? Rocky Randy?
Betty, why don't you just eat more of your soup, okay? And... we'll talk about this a little later.
Hey, boys and girls. Well, I certainly wasn't expecting that, were you? Boy, those beans really know how to celebrate, don't they? Hey, stay tuned.
Yay!
What a gas.
That was a gas.
What a gas.
Mama Fagioni's the most respected restaurant in all of Beantown.
Oh, no kidding.
It's number one. It's a very musical place. You'd appreciate it.
Wow. It's been a while since I heard that. And we recorded that only about, 2 miles away, I guess? And
you know, Tammy has the greatest voice.
Doesn't she?
Oh,
yeah,
great.
She was now. Here's an amazing story. Is that Tammy makes no mistake about telling it. She's not here to tell it, but someday she will be. She's right now busy working on her store. She has 4 retail stores here in Portland, but she takes pride in the fact that she grew up in a trailer park in Maine, and brought herself up by her own bootstraps. But her love, she's been a very successful businesswoman. Not only successful as a businesswoman, has a beautiful, long-standing, wonderful marriage, 2 daughters, a grandchild, and 2 more on the way. And she's a successful comedian, and she's everything she touches, she is superlative at. But when we connected, she started to tell me that I started to listen to some of her stories, and what started all of this, because of the beautiful age we're living in, you can just take your phone and put on the video. And I came to Maine to record her stories. They're so funny about her childhood and her dogs and her pets. But her favorite thing to do, her first time in show business, was on stage with a little sock on her hand doing a puppet show for the whole grammar school. I think she was in the 6th or 7th grade. And the bit she was using came from an old joke. And she said that the principal of the school, she was talking to the puppet, said the principal of the school had a pet. And she says, oh, what is the pet? And the puppet said back to her, he has a pet skunk. And and here she is, a little girl on stage in a grammar school in Maine. And so she said to the thing, well, what about the smell? And the puppet said back, well, the skunk doesn't mind. Meaning that the principal had an odor.
Oh,
and immediately they whisked her off the stage.
That's why I like her so much.
Well, and her other thing was to favorite thing was to play phonograph records and sing incessantly. And she wanted to be Pat Benatar. And so when we reconnected after a couple of years of not seeing her, she had gone to develop more businesses and left comedy. She came back, and it's kind of ironic how kind of destiny is playing out. The same things that both of us enjoyed as kids, we love doing now. Voices and characters and just play. Isn't, you know, and I wanted to talk about this last show. The beauty of what musicians do is play.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes, that's
and
true.
How beautiful it is to play.
It's
you know,
true.
And we live
it's,
in a society, right?
Oh, I was just going to say, it seems like we're, in a way, many of us have lost that ability to play because everything is so structured. And even games
yep.
that are digital games, it's just, it's not really playing. It's vegetating in a way. The way that I see it, playing is being creative and running around and, you know, maybe that's old school, but I don't know. I just see that looking at a video screen sort of dulls your imagination.
Of course it does.
I don't know whether that's...
You know, what it does is when you think about it, and I may be wrong on this because I've never been a gamer, there's really only one solution to advance to the next step, right? If you don't get
right.
that solution, if you don't master that step in that way, then you're out. So you have to learn that you have to work within the barriers, within the walls, as opposed to coloring outside the lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, you need
well,
a contraption, right?
The radio, and it gets the kids to think a little bit. They don't have their eyes bombarded with computer-generated graphics and explosions.
Yes.
The radio mm-hmm. gets these things mm-hmm. in your head, you know.
Exactly. I think that the devices, the mobile devices, the digital devices and video devices are all robbing children of the opportunity to use their own imaginations. But if you put an instrument in their hands or you teach them to sing, music has this sort of magical power. Teach them to write songs. Teach them to play songs. Teach them to dance. It has this magical power to kind of not only stimulate the mind, but also the body, of course, and the heart. So the way that I always look at it is, you know, I mean, people always say, oh, you're a musician, you know, we shouldn't have to pay you because you have fun. Well, you know, that's another issue. But I always thought, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Right?
Absolutely.
You will never work a day in your life because you're just going to wake up every morning, just can't wait to get to work, quote unquote, right? And, you know, music has, and all the arts, I would say, not just music, has this magical ability to work its way into the hearts and minds of human beings. And, you know, even birds sing and other animals make music. It's a universal language. So important.
It's true. And the other thing that I think is interesting is a lot of the research on the brain shows that the entire brain as an organism, all of the hemispheres of the brain are literally lit up when people are engaged and involved in music. And it's one of the only things that does that on all those levels. And even the word music, the base of the word music is an old Greek word, muse, from muse, which meant all of
yes.
the heart. Isn't that
yes.
cool? I love that.
Yes, exactly. And I'm looking at, I found these great posters about music this week that I love to put up on the screen. When people do put their computers on and listen to the show, they do see some good graphics. And this one I love is music is what life sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Very good.
Isn't it?
Very good.
Yes.
And you know, that, and again, getting back to what we stumbled on, and again, once you start to go out into the void, when you start to reach for the muse and the muse reaches back, this whole process evolved about doing a radio show for children and also doing those stories. And we take great pride in the fact that we first ventured into those stories with sound only so that the kids
uh-huh.
would use their imaginations.
Uh-huh.
And Tammy has a four-year-old who listens now every day. She gets in the car. She has to play. She drives him to school. She has to play Bucky and Betty stories. And
oh,
she says,
of course.
Well, when she was disappointed. She said to me, well, he won't listen to them in the house. I said, of course he won't. And
she said, stimulation.
Yeah, I said, he kept looking for the pictures. And I said, but I says, I promise you, if you put him in the car where he can't be running to where he knows there are visual stimulation, I says, he'll listen. And that's exactly what happened. She says, boy, I looked back in the back, and she said he would, I could see his eyes rolling, which tells you that he's seeing what he's listening to. He's using his imagination. And the biggest compliment we got, she said he even, two great compliments, he would laugh before the punchlines because he didn't want to overlap, so he didn't want to miss a word.
Funny.
And one of the days he asked, he said to Tammy, and Grammy, he said, where's Beantown? He says, I want to go
there. Oh, he did ask.
Oh, I want to go to Beantown.
We're in Beantown. Are we in Beantown?
Well,
we might be.
It's in your mind. That's the beautiful place. Beantown
yeah.
is in your mind. And, you know, the thing when
except for my house in a Beantown next to the ocean.
Our motto, and I hope to say this every show, is use your bean, trust your heart, and build your character. And I also say the other one, Tommy and I were talking about this the other day, I follow your gut, follow your belly, follow your instincts, follow your intuition, because those, like you said earlier, the part about what the music does, it not only stimulates your brain, but the vibration penetrates your whole body.
Yes.
So everything feels good.
When I was younger, I was with a theatrical group called the Bread and a Puppet Theater. Maybe you heard of them sometime, but after every performance, they would give bread out to all the audience to remind them that the theater and music and all the arts are like bread. They sustain you. They are part of
oh,
life.
Wow.
You can't live without, you have to have bread to live. You have to have the arts to live as well.
And so you were with Bread and Puppet? And so you were with Bread and Puppet Theater?
Yes, they did Giant Puppet, sure.
Yes, I know them. They're wonderful.
You know
yes,
them? Oh, I've never seen them.
Oh,
they've been in the for a while. I loved it so much.
And
but
so that's
yeah,
in Vermont, isn't it?
That's in Glover, Vermont is where they're based.
Yes.
They travel back in the summer. They're all over Europe as well, where they're even more popular because of the type of entertaining they do. It's mime and puppetry and theater of the absurd and kabuki.
Yeah.
It's all different kinds of theater rolled into one. It's very nice. I had such a good time with them.
Amazing, amazing.
Every performance, passing out bread to remind you that the arts are as important as bread to sustain life. And
they're an amazing troupe. And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah. I have a question, actually, about Beantown. I know Enzo is a cannellini bean, correct?
Yes.
Are you a cannellini bean?
I'm a cannellini, see, sure. All my family are cannellini beans.
I'm a soybean.
You're a soybean?
Yes.
I'm a soybean. And so I'm wondering what Catherine is.
I think I will be a pinto bean.
Oh,
I love pinto beans.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. And speaking to keep the tradition of the today, we just in the studio, we had Pastor Fagioli from the Church of the Holy Beanstalk.
Oh.
He was doing his
supper.
So he's going to be on the show soon, Pastor Fagioli. And so we've got a fun thing, and he's going to teach people that they shouldn't have giant fears because
some people
still think that the giant is coming back. Yeah, and so you have to use your bean and trust your heart and build your character, and you won't be afraid of giants.
No giant fears. I love it.
I love that, too.
Love it. Yay!
I can't clap.
Well,
something happened. I have to mention this because this is the way the conversation has gone. By my phone being lost yesterday, whatever, I had to call Apple to try to find out where it was. And I just have in my heart a big place for Apple because of all they've taught me in the last year. And I talked to a great guy who I found that we kind of traveled and kind of had parallel lives in different places at the same time, in same places at the same time. And one of the things we stumbled on, this is how bizarre, you know, and wonderful life is, we started talking about puppets just yesterday. And we talked about somehow the conversation. Oh, he told me that he had a friend who worked for Sesame Street and then the Muppets. And I said, what was his name? And I said, he said, Richard Hunt. Now, do you either one of you know who Richard Hunt is?
Maybe.
Richard Hunt was Big Bird.
A little familiar. Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he was Big Bird. Yes.
Right.
And I got to see when we had a beautiful resource in Boston, Deantown, and in the next town, Brookline, called the Puppet Show Place. And I was blessed to be able to take my kids to the Puppet Show Place every Saturday that I could. And I would just sit there and just, I wouldn't even look at the stage. I would look at my kids and just get into the moment about the look in their eyes and the way they would be drawn, suspension of disbelief, and they would believe everything that was going on stage. Well, I found out that Big Bird, Richard Hunt, was coming to the Puppet Show Place, but he couldn't be Big Bird. He had to do his own puppet show. And I was amazed. What a master psychologist, child psychologist he was. He understood children. And you're going to love this because he showed me things in that hour or so that he was on stage that I never would have believed or understood. And I relished in. He had this character who acted as the MC, and it was this goofy-looking tiger or pussycat or whatever he was. And his name was Tommy Toe. And, of course, that got all kinds of giggles from the kids because they were all trying to say, Tom, can you say Tommy Toes? And they were saying, no, it's tomato. And they would say, no, it's Tommy Toes. I like Tommy Toes. That's why I'm Tommy Toes. And so he emceed the show, and out came this classical thing of the king and the castle and the princess and the dragon. And so the king told the kids, I'm hiding from the dragon. We're hiding from the dragon because if the dragon finds us, he's going to eat us. So we're going to hide behind this rock. So if the dragon shows up, please don't tell the dragon where we are. And so he gets the kids, they swear, we won't tell. Are you sure? We won't tell. And the parents are beaming that their children are such honorable beings that they won't squeal and tell the dragon where the king and the princess are hiding. And so the dragon, and the first thing the dragon asks is, where's the king? And every kid in the room points to the rock and screams, they're over there. They turned in the king and princess to be eaten by the thing. And now those beautiful yuppie parents from Brookline, Massachusetts are horrified that there are demons living in their houses. These kids, and if the communists or the police showed up at the door, they would turn their parents in a second.
So he just exposed this
beautiful truth of the honesty of kids or the dishonesty of kids. So as I sat there, and I'm howling at this whole beautiful thing, and so now he does the Punch and Judy. Now, have you ever seen one of my favorite photos? It's in a restaurant in Boston. Is a shot, Life magazine has it, of a shot of children. It's the most beautiful shot of children I've ever seen. At a Punch and Judy show, and all of the expressions on these little French kids' face, I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you try to Google it, it is just some kids are screaming at the top of their lungs. Some of them just have their hands in their mouth, and they're chewing, and they're absorbed. Some kids will look horrified, and some kids are laughing hysterically. So he does this Punch and Judy thing, and they get to the scene, of course, and now the parents are mortified that he's actually got them beating the crap out of each other with sticks and punching each other. And the kids are loving it. They're loving it.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it gets to the point where they said he's ready to throw out. I think he's already thrown Judy out the window.
Uh-oh.
To the delight of the kids. And now he's got the baby in his hand, and he says, should I throw the baby out the window? What should I do with the baby? And every kid in the audience screams, throw it out the window.
Oh, God.
And again, the poor mothers are mortified to think.
This is in a very affluent suburb, too.
The truth that those parents went home with, they were totally demoralized in thinking that they had taught all the right virtues to their kids, and they're telling the dragon where and how to eat the king and his daughter and how to throw the baby out the window.
Great story.
Yeah, Yeah, great stuff. So, and you know, one of my favorite things today is to go to schools and speak to fifth graders about, they were the same age as I was when I lost my leg, and I tell them the whole purpose of it is a program called If They Can Do It, So Can I. And what I try to tell them is no matter what the adversity that comes your way, if you look at it the right way, it only makes you tougher and stronger, and it can always be overcome. And
yeah.
I just learned so much.
Good advice.
Yeah, when these kids get up and they tell me, you know, in fact, one of my favorite stories is that it was an 11-year-old girl, when I told her that I had rode a bicycle after a doctor told me I would never ride a bicycle again, and I learned to ride the bicycle by myself, I asked the class if they had ever learned to do anything, to teach, if they had ever taught themselves anything without anybody else teaching them. One little girl stood up and said, I taught myself how to walk. And I said, oh, I said, so you had a sickness or you had an accident and you just taught yourself how to walk again. And she looked at me and she said, no, man, the first time.
So she just ended up a comedian.
That little girl, the teacher and I looked at each other in shock, absolute shock, that this girl understands innate wisdom, that none of us had to learn how to walk, but that something in us tells us when it's the right time to stand up and walk. And nobody has to be taught that thing. And just like so many things in life that we figure out for ourselves because we have that power.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, and
you should
both
bring
of
that
you
up.
Cover that in your, what's that?
I think that's interesting you bring that up because I think that children innately love and naturally are drawn to music and dance. You know, from very little babyhood, you know, if you put on some music, the little tiny babies will just bop up and down. And I think what happens sometimes in our particular society or maybe some other societies, it sort of gets stamped out in them. You know, how many times have you heard a music teacher say, you know, just mouth the words. You're not really in tune, so just stand there, stand in the back of the chorus and just mouth the words. You know, so they get the love of music or they get thought that they can't sing kind of burrowed into them. You know what I'm saying? That
Absolutely. That
children, they taught themselves how to walk and they sing naturally and they dance naturally. And it's society sometimes that sort of, you know, presses them down. And children have just this beautiful spirit. I mean, certain things do have to be, you know, put down certain natural urges.
Yeah, like throwing babies out windows.
Oh, that, yes.
Superman.
I relate.
Now, all of you have great roots. I read your biographies, and your roots go not only, and I think this is what makes you maestros in your own right, but your musical backgrounds. You were rockers. You were, you know, love jazz. You love all kinds of music. And when you do that, when you put yourself in those places, I can hear it in all of your music, this synthesis of all of these disciplines you came from. And I think that's what, you know, you're giving to the kids is this evolution of American, especially American music.
Well, it's so rich. There's so much music to draw from. And, you know, I don't know about exactly how you were influenced early on, Patricia. Hopefully we'll find out. But, you know, I grew up listening to Barbershop Harmony and to Tennessee Ernie Ford blaring every day.
My father.
He loves old spirituals and Barbershop Harmony, and then I just kind of continued on from there, and I just love all music.
Mm-hmm.
I really love rap.
Hmm.
Well, you know, can we play this? I stumbled on this week, and Tommy and I talked about this, but I want to play this. This is get your read on this particular song. Okay, can we do this?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Talks, they greet you. Come on down, forget your cares, come on down. You'll find me there, so long town. I'm heading for Tuxedo Junction now.
Catherine perform on her video, and I've performed for kids a million times. Could I, when I hear that song, I see a room full of kids, and I could see myself bringing in a big old sound system and blasting that song and just watching those kids take off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean,
you use a lot of different styles of music that I like. You all your songs are different styles of music, and the gospel and the rock and all kinds of different things. It's really, I like it a lot. You're not locked into one style. It's a good.
Well, I think it'll sway. I think there are always things too that trends that come and go, and I think swing and that whole big band thing. I think it'll come back. In some form or fashion, don't you, Patricia?
Yeah, I think, the more you can expose children to different kinds of music and different cultures' music, the wider their horizons will be. I mean, just like you want to expose them to different languages, different foods, right? Don't we want to expand our children rather than keep them narrow? We want to let them taste all the different flavors in life. And that's fabulous. You know, I mean, I so regret not growing up with jazz as a background.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with classical and Broadway, those two, and then,
nice.
And then later folk. But I have very little jazz in my background. But, I mean, that was fabulous. I love that.
I mean,
and
that's
Steve's a jazzer. Isn't Stephen a jazzer?
Yeah, Stephen has a much wider palette than I do. I mean, everything. He even played in a polka band.
He did?
Yeah. And he played bass balalaika in a Russian band. And, I mean, he's had quite a checkered history.
That is wonderful. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I just wish that I had a broader background. But, times have changed a lot. And I'm just so happy that people are embracing world music and, different cultures and, experimenting more. I think it's wonderful.
I do, too.
Absolutely.
I do, too.
And when you were talking about barbershop just before we went into that, listen to the harmonizing.
Oh, I love vocal harmonies. Aren't they great? Yeah.
Yeah, and you also had the spiritual music in there, that gospel flavor to that song.
Yeah, I think that is just so much from that. That's our roots, really, if you think about it.
Exactly, And, well, and think of the words. Think of the place they're describing. Who wouldn't love to go to Tuxedo Junction?
Tom, who are those artists?
And where you dance. And where, that was the Andrew Sisters.
Ah.
Yeah, and where you dance till dawn.
Oh, gosh,
you know?
Yes. That's a romantic era for sure.
Oh,
well, that's
without
Beantown.
A doubt.
That's Beantown.
Exactly.
Beantown, baby, that is great.
Exactly.
You have Beantown Junction.
Sure.
You got it. That will be the dance hall, the Beantown Junction. And
we
we'll
stay up
yeah.
in the Beantown until like 10:30 every night.
We'll have to get a group to take that music and parody into exactly that, to the Beantown Junction. I saw my parents dance to that music. I grew up to Perry Como and to Nat King Cole and Glenn Miller and to Tommy Dorsey and all of that beautiful, beautiful music. You know, and that was a time in history that it'll be the greatest thing for that to come back.
I think
it'll
be
interesting.
Esoteric Day. What do you think?
This is, I can't tell you what a joy this has been for us. I never, again, when I went down this route, I never knew I'd be taking this path with you ladies, and it's been an absolutely fantastic show. Did you guys have fun?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's so fun when you get together and you get to talk about what we think about the world and where we're going and who we are and you and what you're pulling together. It's really special. It's sort of like a coffee break for an hour and 15 minutes, don't you think, Patricia?
Or a tea break. Or
you know what? I want a permanent residence in Beantown. I have to move in, and I have to. I want a condo. That's it.
I do too. I agree with you.
I got a three-story condo. Three levels right on the river, and the ocean's on the other side at the mouth of the river,
beanbags, you know? Like beanbag beds.
Well, you know, I tell you every week, and it comes from the bottom of my heart, and I can't tell you what great friends I'm making and what great friends you guys were instantly. We've just had this great connection, and you're right. I think what comes from these, you know, what started, you know, the idea, and I think what's unique about what we're doing, first of all, we're letting it flow. But we're talking, and I see the show kind of taking on, you're right, we're going to have these esoteric, beautiful days when the adults are going to listen. The kids may pop in and out to hear specific parts. But I think it's really important to reach the adults, to tell them what they have in their children. I think a lot of parents don't get it, that they have these amazing creatures that you have to embrace them, and you have to prioritize them, you have to love them, you have to hold them. You don't have them that long. You can't just take them and dump them someplace and then pick them up and dump them some other place. You have to try to spend more than an hour a day with them. You have to do constructive things. You just can't appease them at the end of the week and take them to the mall and buy something thinking that that's going to make up for all the time that you lost during the week. You really have to sacrifice whatever you think is important other than your children. Understand that this is it, that it's all about the kids.
And well, we can never. One of the things that is sad is if any adult forgets what it was like to be a child and growing up. And one of the things that Catherine can corroborate this or not, that is so joyful with those of us in children's music, is that we get to stay kids. We get to play with kids every day. We get to sing and dance like kids. And, you know, my sister once said to me, she really, you know, I love to wear sparkly things. She just looked at me in kind of disgust and said, Patricia, you are not 3 years old. And I just looked at her and I said, well, maybe five, you know. I don't want to ever forget. I don't want to ever forget what it's like to be a kid.
That's
I don't
right.
either.
You know, I was nine or ten years old, and very rarely were we allowed to stay up past 8 o'clock. And we lived in the inner city in Boston, and we didn't have much. And we had this old living room set, and we had that black and white TV. And this one night I was allowed, told that something special was going to be on. And it was Mary Martin playing live from Broadway, Peter Pan. And I got to see that, and I wasn't into that more than 15 minutes, and I said at the age of 10, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You want to be Mary Martin?
I said, I want to be Peter Pan, and I want to play for the rest of my life, and I want to play with the Lost Boys.
And here you are.
And here I am.
And you are.
Lost the Boys still.
The mayor
yes,
of Beantown.
Yes. Well,
that's
can we
it.
Sign off with a? We're going to honor to both. You must know Joni Leeds. Do you both know Joni?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
She's a New York gal like me.
And she's a new CMN member, and she's great.
Oh yeah.
And I with you. I mean, we just had a wonderful time with her, and that's his. The genius, you know, for all of the things that are wrong with technology, we're discovering all the things that are right with technology, that we can connect through the internet with you in Denver, with Long Island, with Joni in New York, and it's like, you know, we're all neighbors now.
Isn't that amazing? It is really
Neighbors and friends, and we would have never found each other, and we have this global reach, and hopefully that we start to pick up more and more listeners. By the way, I have to tell you, both of you, when we do your shows, not only do they do well that day, but as they grow. So something's happening. People are sharing these shows.
Yay.
And
I think a lot of it's you, Thomas, you and Enzo, and what you bring. You have so much heart, both of you, and it shines through, don't you think, Patricia?
Truly, truly.
It's really
well, it's all.
This is special.
Well, thank you. Can we? We're going to sign off with Joni Leeds. I love this song, Bandwagon. Do you know it?
Maybe.
Oh, yes, I do. I do know it. I couldn't sing it, but I've heard it.
I think it's fitting today on what we've done here. And I got goosebumps. I could have played goosebumps because I'm getting them, Catherine. I got the goosebumps. But, okay, we're going to sign off, and we're going to thank you so much, and we can do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Yay.
Love
thank
you guys.
You,
God bless you.
Thank you.
Have
thank
a great
you,
weekend.
Bye-bye.
You too. All right,
peace.
You. Bye-bye.
Arrivederci.
One, two. One, two, three.
Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up on it.
I brought my voice today. Get up on it. I'm gonna make some noise today. Get up on it.
Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up on it. Get up on the bandwagon, just get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up on it.
I brought my banjo today, just to get up on it. I can begin strumming all day, just to get up on it.
Get up on it.
I wanna take all the ivory today.
Get up on it.
I don't stick around and hear me play. Just
get up on it.
Here I go, here I go.
Get up on it.
Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up, get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up, get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up, get up on it. Get up, get on the bandwagon. Just get up, get up on it.
Thank you, Blog Talk listeners. Till next time. What fun!